Hi everybody, this is Stanley Tang here, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary is the star behind Wine Library TV, an online video blog about wine that attracts over 90,000 views a day. He's also the author of the forthcoming book, Crush It, Why Now is the Time to Cash In on Your Passion. So Gary, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So why don't we start off by, you know, telling us a bit about yourself. So have you always been into this entrepreneurship, business, marketing thing from a young age?
Oh, absolutely. You know, at the end of the day, it's a DNA play, right? It's you are who you are. And I was selling lemonade in 7 different lemonade stand locations before I understood what business was. I was only selling, you know, baseball cards and other things of that nature. So I've been on this kick from day one. It's who I am. It's in my blood. I'm a storyteller. You know, at the end of the day, I love to tell stories about brands. Mm-hmm. I love to tell stories, period, just hanging out. And I like painting pictures through the words. And that's what I do.
Mm-hmm. So do you think entrepreneurship is in the blood, since you mentioned that?
I do in a lot of ways. I definitely feel that people are definitely born with some level of entrepreneurial skills, some more than others, and for me it's definitely a big part of who I am, and it's definitely a part of the way I interact, the way I view the world, and definitely I think it's a major play.
Mm-hmm. So how did you first get involved with your father's business with Wine Library?
He dragged my ass to the store. I had no choice. Mm-hmm. I was fully made to work at the store, and that was fine. I didn't love it at first. I cried a lot, but mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it was what it was, and I started getting passionate about wine. So even though it started off a little rough because I wanted to run my baseball card business and I didn't want to deal with that, it definitely ended up being a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So what did you initially do in Wine Library before the whole internet thing?
I basically stocked shelves and eventually became a cashier and then made signs and then finally started selling wine on the floor to every customer that walked in, so I was a salesperson.
Mm-hmm. So what was the experience like, and how do you think it will eventually help you when you came to create Wine Library TV and get involved with e-commerce and social media?
Retail is hard. You know, 12, 15 hours a day, 7 days a week made all this work much easier. So at the end of the day, it may be tougher. It created a thick skin in business. It's given me a work ethic. It's definitely a foundation of my skill.
Mm-hmm. How do you first get involved with e-commerce online?
I was in my friend's dorm room sophomore year of college. They dialed up the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I know, I see this shit, and in an hour, I'm trying to sell baseball cards while all my friends are trying to hook up with girls on the internet. Mm-hmm. So I once again, entrepreneurial glasses, right? You see something, and you view it as a business. That's what I did. It was part of who I am. It's how I roll. And it's what I really ended up doing. I mean, immediately I started pitching my dad for a year for building winelibrary.com, a retail internet website.
Mm-hmm. So what was winelibrary.com like in the early stages?
A piece of shit. You know, it was, you know, classic HTML garbage site. We couldn't ship yet to different states, so it was more informational. But slowly but surely, we started getting into e-commerce. 99 is when we started really pushing the envelope.
Mm-hmm. So what, initially, before there was social media, what marketing strategies, promotional strategies did you use to help grow the business?
Traditional media, newspapers, magazines, radio, all the things that had people's attention. Now that's all changed, and all the eyeballs are heading in one direction, and that platform is the internet. Whether it's mobile or streaming or video or written word, it's the playing platform for brand building and business.
Mm-hmm. So how do you first get into social media?
I feel like in a lot of ways, YouTube and Flickr were two of the early sites that made me realize people communicated. Blogging in 02, 03, I started seeing, thought it was very fascinating. Just started seeing different opportunities and different things going on. Obviously, when I saw Twitter in late 06, I thought that was a huge opportunity. Facebook was out, and I knew about it, but it was more of a college play, and I didn't want to be the creepy old guy peddling wine.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like probably in 04, 05, Flickr, MySpace, things of that nature, I started dabbling with.
Mm-hmm. So was that prompt you to start Wine Library TV, your video blog?
My developers started watching Zay Frank, the show,
mm-hmm.
and that was a big early video blog hit, and I realized that it was really cool, and I thought it was really neat what he was doing, and it gave me the idea to do a wine version at some level with my own style.
Mm-hmm. So how did you actually start with Wine Library TV? Did you just get a camera and then just started talking to the camera?
Yep.
So
that's basically it. You know, I just knew that it's what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to be involved in the trenches. I knew I wanted to create engagement, and that's what I did.
So what do you think was a key that really got Wine Library TV to take off and go viral?
I think good content and massive marketing hustle on the back end. That combo is the combo for success, and that's what I did.
Mm-hmm. So people say that content is king, content is king, but sooner or later, no matter how much effort you put into creating the content, there's got to be some promotion to actually get it out. What was your promotion?
Well, I always say content is king and marketing is the queen. And she runs the household. My plan was to just get in the trenches, answer every email, live in forums, leave blog posts, one step at a time. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And that was it.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know?
Yeah. So what are some obstacles you faced when you first got started with the video blog?
I have no idea. It's not kind of how my brain works. I'm sure there was plenty. The wine industry wasn't ready for that kind of style, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I just kept plugging along and hustling and never really looked back. Just kind of didn't pay attention to the obstacles. Just kept my eye on the prize. And that was it. It was just kind of, I'm building something here. A lot of people won't get it. That's fine. And I'm just very hungry to succeed, build viewership, build a culture, build a movement, and that's what I tried to do.
You talked about hustle, and I heard you mention hustle before in your keynote speeches and etc. But what do you really mean by when you say hustle?
I mean that most people underestimate work, and I think that that's a huge mistake. It blows me away that people don't realize how much of the overall success is based on working extremely hard. And that to me is a huge missed opportunity for a lot of people, and I continue to try to talk about it to open up people's mind to it's not going to happen in one day. You have to work really hard, and that's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was Diana Rankin who once said, it takes 20 years of hard work to become an overnight success. Would you agree with that?
I think there's a lot of truth to those kind of statements. I mean, at some level, it matters on your skill set, but at the end of the day, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that being on the first time when you got on the Conan O'Brien show, was that the tipping point for your business?
I think it definitely didn't hurt. It definitely built up a lot of street cred on the internet for me. And it was almost what happened on the net that day and the next day that was even maybe more important, because so many blog link backs, so many people watched it, passed it on, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So how do you actually get on the show in the first place?
They cold emailed me. They just said, we're on Conan, we're the Conan producers, and we'd like to have you on. Are you interested? I said, no. And I'm just kidding. I was like, absolutely. And that was it.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think traditional media, such as getting on the mainstream media, better, or do you actually prefer social media? Which one do you think is more effective?
Whichever one gets you more eyeballs. Obviously, I think new media is more cost-effective than traditional media, but obviously there's still a lot of eyeballs watching television and things of that nature, and that all has value. At the end of the day, it's always going to be eyeballs. We're all in the eyeball business, and I continue mm-hmm. to try to be in places where there are eyeballs, and I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. So, which one would you actually prefer, getting on the front page of, let's say, New York Times, or the front page of, let's say, Dig or StumbleUpon?
Probably the New York Times. I used to say Dig and StumbleUpon, but the fact of the matter is the traffic is not necessarily relevant or sticky. Maybe StumbleUpon more than Dig even, and, you know, I love Kevin Rose and I love Dig, mm-hmm. but my experiences have been that, you know, there's a lot of traffic you get, but New York Times still has such brand equity that it leads to other opportunities. So, mm-hmm. but I don't believe that to be true long term. And I believe that, I'm not even quite sure New York Times will be in business in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. You just then you mentioned about brand equity. What do you really mean by brand equity?
Well, I mean, what I mean by that is that, you know, to me, brand is everything. Like every single person's brand, every single consumer products brand. At the end of the day, everything you're protecting and everything you're trying to build is the brand. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, even though the New York Times is not a good business anymore, the brand still has a lot of power. So an endorsement on the front page of the New York Times still means something, even though the business itself is far less exciting to me than, let's say, the opportunities that StumbleUpon has in front of it.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a bit about Wine Library TV. How instrumental do you think Wine Library TV has been to help grow Wine Library into a $60 million business?
It's been a huge factor, especially because as I've phased out of day-to-day retail with Wine Library, it's become more and more important that the social media aspects have picked up the slack. Because I've been focused on Wine Library TV and now VaynerMedia and all this other stuff. I was the driving force to the business. Now it's mm-hmm. social media itself and the show itself, and so I would say substantial.
Mm-hmm. So
it's made me scalable, you know?
Mm-hmm. So do you see Wine Library TV as a marketing tool to help sell wine or to enhance the brand, or is it both?
It was strictly built for one reason, for me to be able to build brand equity. And it was for me to be able to build my personal brand equity that would lead to other entrepreneurial opportunities. It was never about selling more wine. It was always about changing the culture of wine, creating good content, good discussion, good debate in an industry that needs it.
Mm-hmm. So what was the biggest mistake you've made, and what did you learn from it?
What was the biggest mistake I've made? You know, and this is so douchebaggy, Stanley, but mm-hmm. I don't know. There's something inside of me that doesn't allow the inability or the ability to really digest negativity or what I've done wrong. I'm sure I've done a million things wrong. I don't really learn, I don't think, necessarily from doing things wrong. Or maybe I do, and I just don't dwell on them, even to a point of not being able to be aware of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I don't even know what to say. It's the way I'm built. I just don't know any different.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a bit about Twitter for a moment. You have about, 700,000 followers on Twitter. So what do you think is the right way to actually interact and engage with your followers?
I think there's a lot of different things. I think that one of the important things is to be authentic, right? So mm-hmm. whatever that means. I mean, I use Twitter quite a bit as a messaging tool to people that what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, different things like that. I don't, you know, I do a lot of my interaction on email and instant messenger and on DM. I don't publicly at people a whole lot. Other people do. I just think it's different for everybody. I think you should work it the way that you're comfortable instead of the way I do, just because I have a lot of followers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So do you think listening is something really important?
Listening is the whole game. That's business. You know, that's, at the end of the day, that's business. Nothing else. Mm-hmm. It's all about listening and then giving. Nothing else matters. Your point of view is irrelevant. You need to have a pulse of society, what they want, and then you have to basically you have to execute for what they're looking for. That's it.
Mm-hmm. So, do you ever go out and monitor your brand? Let's say you just type in your own name on Google or Twitter search.
Every single day. Every single day. That's mm-hmm. what I do. It's absolutely what I do.
So,
you know,
yeah.
It's the game.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't some people call that a bit, you know, egoistic or narcissistic?
I'm sure at some level. I just think it's more about paying attention and caring about what people are saying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it. To me, it just comes down to, if you're listening, you have the ability to execute and give people what they want. And I think that way too many people don't listen. And if they think that I'm looking at my name for vanity, then they're just not aware of what's actually going on here.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, you know, corporate brands. Do you think social media tools have been effective for a corporate brand, let's say Dell? Do you think they're using Twitter right?
Well, they've sold $2 million worth of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
The end. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know what the funny thing is? And I think it's very fascinating. I don't understand in any shape or form, Stanley, how people don't understand that the game is changing, that platforms of media consumption have fundamentally changed, that eyeballs
right.
are shifting.
Right.
And that everything has changed. When television falls in the next 3 years, everybody will understand. And I it's just laughable to me to even think that people would debate if social media is not good for everybody, from the lowest point of an individual to the highest point of the Fortune 1, the biggest company in the world. So that's it.
Mm-hmm. So, do you ever plan on taking, you know, Wine Library TV to mainstream media, like television or something?
It's conceivable, but it's going to have to be a really, really, really sweetheart deal. And I'm not sure if anybody's ready to go there, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, what trends do you see in social media in the future?
More transparency, more interaction, more connection between users, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So, excuse me. What advice do you have for, you know, young entrepreneurs who are getting started with business and internet marketing and social media and all that stuff?
Passion. It's all about passion. Find the stuff you like the most and execute. And that's it.
So, speaking of passion, why don't you tell us a bit about your upcoming book, Crush It?
I basically wrote, in my opinion, the blueprint of, you know, how to go about finding your passion, how to about thinking about why your passion can be monetized, and then details of how to do it. I think it's very important. I think I looked at it at a very high level, and then I brought it to the very low level. So it's like 50,000 square feet in the air, then at, you know, basically ground level. I think that's the important thing. Never be caught in the middle. Never.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really, really important. I think you've got to look at it from the biggest biggest level, and then you've got to find out how to do it and execute in the trenches.
Mm-hmm. So I've got a question from Twitter for you. So what will you do instead if online video were to vanish or be banned today?
I would be doing exactly what I'm doing right now, which is building VaynerMedia, building out other internet properties, would leverage written word if that communication was available. I would just adjust, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, at the end of the day, I'm not emotional about anything. It comes down to one thing. Whatever the platform is that's executing and whatever is working, I'm going to figure out how to use it.
Yeah, so a new platform, obviously, which is really hot right now, is mobile. So you plan on going mobile anytime soon, like iPhone application, like Quik.com?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, talk a bit about that.
It's the new playing field. The end. I got to be a part of it, and we're looking at it very, very heavily. And
so.
we've been slow to the game. I had an iPhone app. It's like 90% done. I bullshitted and haven't executed, and I deserve to lose if I do lose. But we're looking at it very heavily.
Mm-hmm. So, what are some future projects you have with, you know, going mobile?
Quarked, CORKD.com, my social wine network. We're looking at mobile very heavily. We continue to view every single thing that's going on in the world as a mobile play. Mobile has to be part of every strategy. If it's not, it's not a basic smart decision, in my opinion. And that's it. I mean, just mobile is a must. It's a requirement.
Mm-hmm. You're obviously a very passionate person and also a very confident person. So where do you get the confidence that you'll know one day all of this is going to pay off? Like, what drives you to succeed?
I come from a humble beginning. You know, I was an immigrant. I've got a great family life, amazing parents. I'm massively competitive DNA-wise. I want to achieve big things. I feel a huge sense of responsibility for all the luckiness I have. So lots of different things.
Mm-hmm. So, Gary, thank you very much for taking your time out to do this interview. Do you have any final comments or want to let people know where they can find you online?
My final comment is I appreciate your hustle to get me on this interview, Stanley. Good work.
Thank you.
And I wish you nothing but the best.
Mm-hmm. So where can people find you? Do you want to mention your websites?
Nah, I'm good. I'm sure they can find it. I mean, I'm plenty promoting myself. I'm sure you'll link it up or you can mention it. The bottom line is, you know what? If I'm putting out good shit, they'll find me. And that's what I'm focused on.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you also want to plug in your book, Crush It, Why Now is the Time to Cash in on Your Passion. When is your book coming out, by the way?
October 13th.
All right, so people can pre-order the book right now over Amazon, Barnes & Noble, I believe.
Indiebound, lots of different places.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Right, okay. Thanks once again, Gary, for taking your time out. I really appreciate it.
Stay well, my man.